speak about today is that there is no doubt that we're living in the last days, that we're headed very quickly now to the end of the world. You think of it, the end of the world. You know, we're headed there, the days are passing very quickly. Another year has gone by. 2008 has ended. We could remember fully when it just started not so long ago. Now it's the end of it. And now it's 2009. You know, and as we look back, knowing I'm saying we, how have we spent 2008? What did we do with it? Did we spend time in prayer before God? Did we spend time reading God's Word earnestly? As we reflect back, what did we do with it? You know, all of us have time, our time, people want our attention, our time, our kids, our job, and you name it. There are things that is there that want our attention and time. But have we really took time out to really sit down, me and God, the Bible, and take that time out of our day, half an hour, no matter what time of day it is, could be 3 a.m. in the morning, it could be in the early morning. Have we really spent quality time over the past year just reading the Bible and praying to God earnestly? You see, there's no better thing we could do with our time than listening to God's Word, spending time alone with Him. And each one of us have to look at our own time, because this is the time that God has given us. You know, many of us have been living in this world a long time. Some are 2 years old, some are teenagers, some are different ages. This is the time that God has allotted to you, to me. What have we done with it? What have we done with the time that God has given to us? And especially in our day, when time is quickly coming to a close. It's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. We shouldn't let the things of this life bog us down. You know, we could easily be caught up in that. What about this? What about that? You know, we have to be very careful. And God commands us in the Bible to redeem the time. Time is precious. Time is very precious. And we should spend it very wisely. Because none of us have that assurance that we're going to live through 2009. Do you? I don't know. 1,000 things could happen to any one of us. And we have to make sure that each minute, each moment is spent very wisely, because it is precious. But I want to look in Daniel, turn over to Daniel chapter 6. God gives us a very good example at this man of God, Daniel, where we see him here, and we see him spending time before God. Although he was a ruler over this land, we see him take time out of his day to pray to God. He prayed to God. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, we read, "Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." We know that Daniel is a saved man, and the Spirit of God is in all of his people, God's people. "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could none find occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." And so are we when we become a child of God. Spiritually, we become perfect. We become blameless before God. And here he is, God is saying these things about him. "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Let's drop down to verse 7. Here these other people, they were jealous of Daniel, and they were trying to find an occasion in him. Really, their intent was to kill him. Verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Therefore, the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. See, he had no clue what his other presidents and governors were cooking up against Daniel. He had no idea. In other words, he was tricked into signing this decree. And verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So this is not something he just did right then and there. That's something he's been doing over a period of time. Because it says it as he did aforetime. So this was a habit of his, that he would pray to God 3 times a day. Continually, he would constantly do it. How are we? Are we praying continually before God and praying, pouring out our hearts before him? You see, this is a great example for all of us. How is my prayer life before God? Am I praying consistently before God? Whether, you know, we don't have to go to God when something goes wrong, or we could go in thanksgiving to him in prayer. We could go to him when things seem to be going bad, when I'm in a trial, no matter the situation. We could go to God at any time of day or night. We can never wear out our welcome. If you have concern about your salvation, you're praying for the salvation of a loved one, no matter what the situation, we can go before God and just simply pour out our hearts before him. And that's a wonderful privilege for those who are children of God. We could just continually go out to God and pray and pray and pray, because he commands us to pray without ceasing. No matter the situation, who knows me better than God? Who knows you better than God? God knows you better than you know yourself. And he understands our situation. He understands it. No matter if your wife or your husband or a child may not understand the situation, God does. He does. He knows what you're going through. No matter how difficult it might be, God knows it. God knows. He doesn't mean that he's going to get you out of it. But we have that blessing that we could make our request be known to God. And we just rest in the fact and say, may God's perfect will be done. That's it. May God's perfect will be done. But here Daniel went each day, 3 times a day, and prayed to God. And prayed to God. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Tony read this earlier. Look at verse 17, a very, very familiar passage. Christ says to us here, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And that word ceasing there is the word continual. Continual. We should pray continually before God. Not only in the morning or at night, we could pray while we're mowing the lawn, we could pray while we're, whatever the case might be, we can pray. We could pray to God. We could pray. That word there is used in Romans, ceasing. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. You see how it's used in this chapter. Romans chapter 9, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. The word continual there. translated ceasing. We should always continually pray. Pray without ceasing. It goes hand in hand, that word. It's used here also in 2 Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Here we see the apostle Paul is praying for his fellow believers day and night. You see, it's a continual thing. He's praying without ceasing. You know, if we have a child, let's say, who's not saved, then we get troubled. My child may not be saved. My wife may not be saved. What should we do? Continually go before God and pray. You see, we could never, it's an integral part of the child of God's life, prayer. You see, that's why I asked the question, how much time have we spent last year praying to God? Just simply praying to Him. Just pouring out whatever is bothering us, whatever the case might be. We just go to God and pray and pray and pray and just tell Him all about it. And God understands. You know, that's not if we're going to tell Him something that He doesn't know. He knows all things. And He commands us to pray. Pray without ceasing. You know, He commands us to come boldly before the throne of God. And that's a great blessing that the child of God has. Unsaved man doesn't have that. What does he do when things are bothering him? You know, he goes to get a counselor. Unsaved counselor, he goes through alcohol, or he goes through whatever he goes through, but there is no help in that. He's not going to get any help from man. We go to God. We go to God, the true believer. We go to God and we leave it there at His feet. We leave it there because we know that God is. We simply ask God that may His perfect will be done. And if it's His decision to leave us in a difficult situation in life, so be it. So be it. You see, so be it. God will strengthen us to go through whatever we're going through. Although it might seem that there is no other way out, but God knows. God knows. Let's go on a little further. We'll look at Psalm 130. Psalm 130. The first two verses we read, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. You see the desire of the true believers that God will be attentive to his supplication, to his requests. And we know that God hears us. He hears us. If you will look at 1 Peter, turn over to 1 Peter, we know that God hears us, the true believers. In 1 Peter chapter 3, here we read, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. And hear this wonderful promise that God has given to us. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Now we know that the righteous is whom? God's people, God's elect. We're not righteous of ourselves. God has made us righteous. He has imputed His righteousness to us. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Isn't that a wonderful comfort? You see, His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See the wonderful promise of God that He hears the prayers of His people. The unsaved man have no assurance that God hears. Of course, we know that God hears everything. But here God is particularly speaking to his people, that God's ears are open to their prayers. He hears it. You see, he hears it. And that's a wonderful blessing of God, that he hears the prayers of his elect. He hears it, you see. And that's beyond comprehension, that God would listen to a dirty, rotten sinner. And our little situations, we know it is, our light affliction is but for a moment. It's temporary. You see, it's a temporary thing. But to us, it seems like it's this mountain that we're carrying, you see. And, you know, at times we tend to lose sight of the fact that God is in control. He is in control. He let these things in my life. And sometimes a lot of things that happen in our life, we cause it in our own selves. Because of disobedience, because of rebellion, because of sin. We cause it in our own selves, too. Some things that happen to us, we cause it on ourselves. But God knows and he understands all things. We also know that Christ prayed. He prayed, and many prayers are recorded in the Bible. But we know that Christ is our example, and he prays also. You remember the greatest test anyone would ever undergo, which Christ going to the cross, and now we begin to learn that, you know, he was simply demonstrating what he was doing. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26. And this is only one place we're going to look at, but there's other places we could look at. But Matthew 26, here Christ is about to go to the cross. In verse 37, here we read, verse 37 of Matthew 26, "Then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying," Christ is praying to God the Father, "and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You see how one of the ways we had to come before God, yes, we pour out our hearts before him, but we know that, O Lord, may thy perfect will be done. If it be your will to not answer my prayer or leave me in this situation, so be it. So be it, and we leave it there with God. And God will strengthen us to deal with that situation. You know, God is a merciful God, you know. He is very merciful to us. So if it's his will for him to leave us in this situation, so be it. So be it, you see. And one of the thing also we understand about prayer is that it's a very personal thing. It's very personal. We don't have to let no one know what we're praying. It's a very personal thing between that person and God. You see, let's look at Matthew 6. It's a very personal thing. And my hope is that as this year starts, we may pray even more. Take that time out of our day to pray to God. You see, Matthew 6, let's read verses 5 to 7. "And when thou prayest," here God is going to instruct us how we are to pray, speaking to the child of God, "when thou," the true believer, "when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." You see, is that a literal closet? No. In the closets of our minds, you see, we pray. "And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, it's a very personal thing. You know, we don't have to pray out loud, let no one hear. No one. Because God knows our heart. He gave us an example of that, and if you would turn over to 1 Samuel, you remember when Hannah prayed? When Hannah prayed, we see here that only thing moves on her was her lips. Eli didn't hear a thing. Eli thought she was drunken, but she was pouring out her heart to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's start reading at verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunken. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. See, she was pouring out her heart before God. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon my affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor be upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. All Eli saw were her lips move. Not a word. She didn't say a word. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. See where she spoke? She spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. You see, not a word was spoken, but yet God heard it. God heard her prayer. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drank neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. All she did was in her heart. You don't have to be praying out loud for God to hear you. All you can do is just pray in your heart, pray in your mind, and God hears it. He hears it, you see. And verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You see, we don't have to say a word. Prayer. As we're driving down the way, or we're at work, or we're laying on our bed and can't sleep, and you're laying there thinking, we can pray. We can pray. And that's a wonderful blessing that God has given to his children. God understands, no matter what it is. God understands. Does it mean he's going to change the situation? No. No. I hear people say prayer changes things. No, we pray according to the will of God. Lord, may thy will be done. Remember as Christ was facing this awful test, what did he say? Oh, Lord, may thy will be done. You see, and if it's his will to leave me in this situation, or if it's be his will not to save that loved one, God's perfect will be done. You see, we just leave it in the hands of God. We pour it out before him. We get anxious. We get concerned. We get fearful. No matter what the situation in life might be, God, we go before him. We don't take matters into our own hands, because we're going to make a mess of things. We leave it in God's hands, because God is Almighty. He's Almighty God. Let's look at another familiar passage in Philippians 4. Remember that passage there in Philippians 4? In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, there we read, "Be careful for nothing." Don't be anxious. And how often that happens to us. We get anxious. You know, the world gets that way. But the true believer could be in a calm situation. No matter if things are going haywire or whatever it is. God says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Be careful, but be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. We supplicate before God. You see, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer. Here again, prayer. You go before Him again. And God gives us this assurance in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, we supplicate and we leave it there. We leave it there. Seeing that there is no way out of this situation or that situation, we leave it in God's hands. Because He is directing things, you know. Remember, He gave us His promise to the true believer that, I think in Psalm 50 or 49, said He's going to be our guide, you know, even unto death. He guides the true believer's life. He puts things in the true believer's life, and He guides it right into His presence. Guides us right into His presence. So, come what may, we have this assurance to the child of God that God is in control of our life. Yes, He's in control of all things, every person's life. But for the true believers, we have that great comfort and blessing that God understands. So, my hope for all of us this coming year that we will spend more time before God in prayer. And also, another thing, when I mentioned it earlier, but another thing we want to spend more time in is Bible reading. Bible reading. Thus, simply open the Bible and read any part of it. Whether we understand it or not, that's what we are to be doing with our time. Reading the Bible. Children, read the Bible. Read the Bible. You can't go wrong. Turn off the TV. Put away the games for about an hour. Stop doing what you're doing. You're in school. Put away the books for a half hour or so. Pick up your Bible. Go in your room and start to read the Bible. Carve that time out of our day to simply listen to God speak to me, to you, from the pages of the Bible. Those kids who can't read, I'm pretty sure mom and dad said, come on, sit down, child. Let me read the Bible to you. Same thing. Set time aside to listen to God speak to us from the pages of the Bible. Let's look at Hebrews 1. In Hebrews 1, we read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, whom He also made the worlds. So we know, as we read the Bible, it is God who is speaking to us. This is how He chooses to speak to us through today. Not to a voice, or an unknown tongue, or a dream. These things are, somebody tells you that God told me to tell you something. It is a lie. God doesn't speak to us that way. No, He only speaks to us from the pages of God's Word, the Bible. It is the voice of God who is speaking to us. So, we want to spend time listening to God speaking to us. It's as if God is standing right in front of you as you read the Bible. What more do you want? It's as if God was here in front of you, talking to you. You see, this is the Bible. This is God speaking to us. Let's look at, turn over to 2 Peter. Let's go back to 2 Peter again. Let's, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Here the disciples saw him as back there 2,000 years ago. They saw him. They were with him. They were eyewitnesses to him. And here he goes on in verse 17. For he received from God the Father an honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. Remember when on the Mount of Transfiguration? They heard the voice of God. And they were eyewitnesses of Christ. They were with him for what? 3+ years? When we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And what is that? The Bible. So we have even that. It happened to them. They heard it. They saw him. But here he's saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is the Bible. The Bible. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star ariseth in our hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You know, mankind didn't write the Bible of his own will. It says what it says. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see how sure and true the Bible is? Although they heard these voices and they saw Christ, the Bible is even more sure than that. You see how true the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God. And any true believer is going to spend time reading God's Word, the Bible. There's no substitute for that. Can't be lazy. You can't be lazy. Remember, God's Word to the child of God is the joy and rejoicing of their heart. See, because God has given to us a new heart. And that new heart desires what? To be fed from God's Word, the Bible. That's the desire of the new heart that God has given to the child of God. He's going to spend time reading the Bible. We're going to spend time before the Bible. Turn over to Luke. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10. We're going to read a little bit here about Martha. In Luke chapter 10. Here, Martha is a great type of the child of God. Luke chapter 10, start reading at verse 38. Pick up the context. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, which is Christ, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see where she's at? Here we are, truly, if you're truly saved, we're seated at the feet of Christ. And we're seated there. What are we doing? We're listening to what he's saying to us. And this is how we ought to be. We should be seated at the foot of Christ. As we're reading the Bible, we're seated at the feet of Christ. And we're listening to what he's saying to us. And verse 40 says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? What was her concern? All what was going on. See, how easily that could happen to any one of us. I'm concerned about my job. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about that. And it comes in our life and it pushes the Bible out, which should never happen. You see, it pushes our concern, our anxiety comes in our life, and we start focusing on this, or poor me. Poor me, look what I'm going through. Instead of, we stop it right there. And we're seated and open God's word as if we're seated at the foot of Christ and we're reading the Bible, listening to what God says to us. But here she is. And here he says, bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. And she's anxious. As any one of us could get. She's anxious. You're careful and troubled about many things, you see. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see how we could still get so caught up about this and about that, and we neglect listening to the Bible. You know, we could be caught up in these things, you know. A true believer can. But you have to stop and go back to the Bible and start reading God's Word and praying to Him for wisdom and guidance. You see, so we have to be very careful about these things, that this coming year that we carve out time alone with Christ, with our families, you know, and read God's Word together in our home and stress to our children the importance of God's Word, the Bible, because it is God who's speaking to us. Let's look at Psalm 119. Verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104. Here God says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. See? Our minds, hearts are filled with God's word, and we're thinking about it. We're thinking about God's word, you see. How easily our minds could go that way and that way and this way. But we ought to be thinking about God's word. We ought to meditate upon it each day. In verse 98, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You see, we have to be thinking about it, you know, praying for wisdom and so forth. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You see how the true believer looks at God's word, and if we're not spending time in God's word, what are we doing with our time? We're actually wasting it. Yeah, I know we have to take care of the children, we have to work, we have to all these things, but it comes a time when we have to just stop all that. Stop all the hustle and bustle and, you know, and all this and all that. And pray. Spend time in prayer before God. And read the Bible. Can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. And that ought to be our desire as we enter into the new year, that we may spend time. More time, because, you know, we're at the end. We're in the last days. I believe we all can see that. And time is of the essence, isn't it? Time is quickly coming to an end. And if it's ever time, we have to be looking at ourselves and spend time in prayer. Oh, Lord, I don't think that I'm saved. Give me that assurance. How are we going to get that assurance? By reading the Bible. God says His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're sons. Oh, yeah, it's good to pray. Pray, pray, pray. But there is no substitute in reading the Bible. That's how God operates. It says, faith cometh, which is Christ, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He's not going to change. God is not going to change the way He operates to suit me because I'm lazy. You know, He works through the hearing of His word. We have to put ourselves in that situation, that if God is going to save me, if I'm not saved, that He's going to save me through applying His word to my heart, however He does it. You see, we can't just be worried and troubled, oh, I'm not saved, I'm not saved, I'm not saved. And we're not praying and going to God and reading His word. We just can't do that. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, for thy word, and we thank you, Lord, that thou hast brought us through another year, and we pray as we start a new year that we may spend quality time just simply reading thy word and in prayer before thee. Those of us who are saved, it is our nature to come to thee continually, no matter what we're going through in life. We know that you are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. We have this marvelous assurance in thy word that you are always with us. And, oh Lord, we pray for each and every one of us who are here today and who might be listening over the internet, that, oh Lord, that their desire and our desire may be to spend more time with thee alone in thy word, because it is Almighty God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords is speaking to me, to all of us here who are listening to his word, the Bible. Lord, we pray and thank you for this time together around thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.